I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, I'm Jordan Smith.
And I'm Ben Smith, and you're listening to Yes Chef.
This is the podcast where we go in search of our favourite chefs
across some of London's top restaurants and top kitchens,
where we sit down and we find out what makes them tick.
If you like food, you like chefs, you love this.
Bon app.
Hello, Yes Chef listeners. We're back with another episode. This week, we're speaking to James Cocker at 1251.
1251 in Islington. You might have seen this chef on Great British Menu. We got to the banquet, got to the final, Champion of Champions. It was a real, real good one this week, wasn't it?
It's a beast of a podcast.
Should we just get ourselves tucked in, pal?
Tuck up.
Tuck in.
Let's begin.
Got some earphones there.
Sweet.
Tell me what you think, if you can hear yourself and if you can hear us and if it's good. Get yourself close to the mic.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So you're mates with Craig, aren't you?
Yeah, Craig-o.
Yeah, well, he taught me to cook.
Did he really?
Yeah, so I'm from Ulverston. I'm from his town.
Oh, and, fair enough.
Because he texted me the other... Because I've got two places down. I'm a chef as well. And basically, he taught me years and years and years ago. And he was like the one that wasn't a bully when I was 12. Do you know what I mean? He's a good dude, isn't he?
He's a top boy, mate. Top boy. Heart's in the right place, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Sure, it was great on GBM as well. We came out with some really good mates, actually, out of that.
It seemed like it, watching it, which we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, okay, cool.
It was the first time, because I think they try and edit it to make it look like everyone's, like, arsey with each
other.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I didn't like that about it. I stopped watching it. But this one was like, bloody, everyone's kissing everyone on
the
lips.
There was a lot of love in the building, for sure.
So, yeah, we might as well, while we're talking about it, let's go straight into it. I mean, Great British Menu. Obviously, it's the most current thing now. When did you do it? Like a year ago, right?
I filmed it round in December last year when I did like the heats for like London South East.
Right.
And then we did like the finals in February. So I've had to keep it quiet really for like about, what, 6 months or so.
Have been pretty hard keeping it under wraps.
Yeah, it was, to be honest with you. Because like, you know, I won Champion of Champions. So, I was kind of itching to kind of tell everyone about it. So like my close family and friends knew. But kind of once it got announced, it was like finally at last. Do you know what I mean? It hadn't really kind of sink in.
It was a weird one. Because when we had Craig on, I had a radio show, I had Craig on. And you could see it in his face. It was because obviously, it was I knew it was done all right. Because, you know, he wouldn't go and tell everyone that you'd done this if you'd done terrible. But the way he was doing it was like, but I can't tell you. But the way it was like, he's professional when he was like, he'd been told, don't you dare tell anyone what's going on.
Yeah, that wasn't my kettle of fish, basically.
Was it a good experience?
Would I do it again? No. I mean, I had a lot of sleepless nights.
Yeah.
It was a lot of stress. Do you know what
intense.
I mean? Like,
you look like you got stressed, man. I think some of them have been on before and realised that, like, this is going to get in your head.
Yeah, because, like, Tom Brown and Ellis had done it before, so they kind of knew the format of what to go through. As I was kind of fresh to it. So, I mean, it's hard to believe you do 18 hours a day for half hour show.
That's mad.
And you're repeating yourself over and over and over again. And then you've got the stress of competing with two other chefs. And then
they put that in you a bit, because like when the two other chefs are in there, like we were just saying about the editing to make it look a little bit like you're all after each other and it's now a bit pally this year. Is it weird kind of, do you get told to go on, ask him about his onions?
Exactly.
Well, you're like, oh, exactly. Tell him your sauce, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, exactly. Over.
Exactly. You want to help him.
Yeah.
But then like, you have to stand there and then watch his sauce boiling over.
For good
oh,
TV.
Oh, by the way, mate, bit of TV over here, mate, sauce boiled over. So, yeah, that was kind of like how it was. Like, you kind of seen the series before, as it's kind of like there's a lot of chip on people's shoulders.
Yeah,
do you know what
definitely.
I mean? Like they kind of want to bring a lot of animosity to the actual kitchen. But I kind of, the best thing I thought about it is that this year, everyone was so supportive of each other. And you know what I mean? If I was going down or someone else going down, we'll back them up. But I mean, for me personally, I've worked in the kind of kitchens where they're kind of trained to be a bit of a monster.
Mm.
When I worked at Lebri, and he kind of molds you into someone that he wants you to, he can trust you. So if someone comes onto the section, he knows exactly what you're going to be like with them. And it was kind of like that in the show. But I mean, for me personally, I feel as I've kind of got older, that you mean you come to the kitchen every day and you work with people 18 hours a day. And I mean, for me personally, they're like my family.
Mm. Yeah,
so,
be,
so, like, so like, so why am I going to start being harsh or rude to him or like making them feel uncomfortable? I mean, what's the worst thing about someone comes to the kitchen and they're scared of you?
Well, you don't want to come to work for 18 hours if you're shitting your pants.
Yeah. And it's not good for my health either.
No, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you get a pot washer on there? Because the thing, you see a bloke just walking behind at the end. You know, like when you're all cooking, I think he gets no, he's doing it all.
He's basically just milling around, mate, just laughing at you going down, basically. No, he's not really, no.
He's not.
We have a sous chef with us.
And you choose your sous chef?
No, we get basically told our sous chef is, but how it works is they'll basically weigh out all your ingredients for you. But I mean, sometimes, I mean, as chefs go, when you go out and have a few drinks after, didn't you? So you find it worse or wear the next day.
So was that happening a lot? Come on, I want some. I mean, we want.
I mean, you're a chef, so you kind of know, like, work hard, play a little hard.
I always get a lot of grief off my other half because she says she finds it very weird because not being a chef, she was like, why would you spend 14 hours in one room and then want to spend another hour outside the room drinking? Do you know what I mean? So why would you stay in the same place? You always, you know what I mean? Why wouldn't you want to rush home? And I'm like, well, you finish work at 6, I finish at 11. So my day started at 11. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, exactly.
When I get home, mate. But yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because like you do, like you have a drink and then
with your chef.
Yeah, like why the hell do you want to spend 18 hours a day with him? And it's like, well, we've been grafting and we're all as a team. We all deserve a drink after work. And then it comes to 1, 2, 3, 4. And then before you know it, you wake up in the morning with a hangover.
So we're in 12:51.
Right? Yep.
We've had a little bit of a couple of like bets for the last couple of weeks because I'm a massive Strokes fan, and I was like, "Is it because of the address?" And he was like, "No, it's 106." I was like, "Right, well, it must be. It's the Strokes, isn't it?"
Yeah, it's lately 12:51 Strokes. Yeah.
So you're peddling the Strokes. You got Tom Brown peddling your 2 Monkeys.
Yeah, I know, mate.
Who's next?
We were trying to put bets on indie classics of 2004. We're going for hot or heat. Do you know what I mean? Something like that. So go on. What was the crack there then?
So my mate, my business partner, Dan over there, used to have a pub down the road, Steam Passage, on Upper Street.
Right, okay.
And I was doing pop-ups with like four of my best mates. We used to live in Canberra, so we called it Canberra Love. And usually on Monday, Tuesdays, they're pretty quiet at the pub. So he was kind of like, do you want to come take over and do a pop-up there? And then like it was going well there. And then New Year's Eve, he was like, do you want to take over and do pop up there?
That's a risky one, New Year's Eve. Yeah, a hard time,
because you're getting people to eat. You already dropped before you go in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's exactly. That's
why I got a kitchen porter guiding me around the kitchen. And then we kind of all sat down at the end of it. And our friend Tobias, who lives in New York, was kind of like, I reckon we could be onto something here. And they were like, well, we're all kind of busy at the moment, but we should look at doing a future project came on. And we all had a few drinks. And we were like, yeah, let's do this. And then, bosh, 12:51 Strokes came on. And we were like...
What a name, though.
Yeah, and we were like, jobs are good, in basically. So we went from there. So if you think about the 12, turn it backwards, upside down, is 51. So the 12 is kind of the existence of this restaurant. And 51 is kind of separate entities off the back of that. So we have a few things in the pipeline. So we've got our jerk beer coming in later on this year.
Nice.
So kind of a previous place of kind of where I was with James Cochrane EC3. And the thing that was kind of renowned for that was my Jamaican jerk buttermilk chicken. And in jerk spices, you kind of have kind of a lot of autumnal spices in there. So you kind of have star anise, allspice, pimento. So in this time of year, as we're kind of getting into autumn, we're going to be dropping like a jerk stout, but not with the spice, not with like with the Scotch bonnet spice, with them kind of autumnal flavors coming in. So at the moment, I've just been delivered 150 kilos of malt that I've got to smoke myself.
Oh, Christ. Where are you going to do that? You're not going to fit that in here, are you?
So I've basically got like a big CV machine, going to be with a little smoking gun, CVing 5 kilos at a time.
Oh,
so,
my
so,
God.
Yeah, so it's going to be a long, intense, but it's going to be nice because I'm going to put so much graft into it to see the rewards at the end of it.
And who's doing the stout with you then?
Brick Brewery.
Right, okay.
So I'm from South London, so we're not originally from Windsor Whitstable, but I kind of go to their place quite a bit and kind of got well kind of connected with the people there. And we always kind of spoke about that we would love to do a beer because we only supply the beer to here, basically. And we have kind of future plans next year with a couple of other things opening up. So they want to work along, they want to work alongside us, basically.
That's fantastic. Next year.
And then the Scotch bonnet jam that's served with the jerk chicken. Had a sauce shop?
No, I haven't, no.
Basically, they're looking at making my own Scotch
bonnet jam.
So
you got your own jam. Yeah. So it's going to be everything.
Jam hot, mate.
That's brilliant. Jam beer.
Yeah. Fried chicken. I mean, what else do you need, really?
That's the dream right there.
Yeah.
So how good was it good doing the pop-ups around here then? Because obviously you've been working like high-end for a while, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
And then what did you just decide, like, I've had enough, I need to go on my own?
Yeah, I did it on my own. And I think you can save a lot of chefs here who have no clue about business, do they? All they know is how to cook.
I was going to call my business Learning Curve Catering. Honestly, for the first 2 years, I mean, like, you do, don't you? But I quite like that. I quite like just diving in and not doing a year's of like night school to learn.
Yeah, exactly. I would have signed up, to be fair. I probably could learn quite a lot, mate. So I did a pop-up and I failed straight away because, I mean...
You lost loads of like, money-wise or just...
No, just like, well, you know how to cook. I mean, I don't know how to market.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do any of that crap. Sorry.
It was the social. This is the thing that me and you have talked about because, you know, with the social media aspect of it, you can be in the kitchen all the time and it's like, I'm not going to take a picture of my bloody food. I'm cooking it and getting it out. Do you know what I mean? It's having that again.
Yeah, exactly.
And learning on your own. So you were on your own when you do the pop-up, or you with...
Yeah, so I had my four best mates who we also live with in Camberwell, and I kind of quit work because I was like, well, you could do pretty right money if they just do a couple of days and you can make like about $4,000 or so.
Mm.
And I was like, well, if we do this like once a month or twice a month, a little bit of money in the pocket, innit? And plus getting my name out there.
Yeah.
And this was kind of before Instagram really kind of Twitter kind of hit. So it's kind of like Facebook. You know what I mean?
MySpace.
Was it really?
Imagine them did.
Yeah, exactly. So I did it once. I failed miserably. Like, and it's so funny because I think any chef, you always believe in your product, don't you? You believe in your product. And it just, again, had no clue about marketing. So then I got my mates back involved. I was like, I need to kind of learn a little bit from each of you. Because one of my mates did marketing. So basically, at work, there was five of us. So I was a chef with my other best mate. My mate would take care of all the booking. My mate would do the marketing. And my mate would do the front of house. So it was a good team.
That's
so I
nice.
Kind of went back. Yeah, and like these mates I've known since I was like 11, 12. We all lived together. So it was a good group of friends. And they kind of helped me quite a bit kind of to push my foot through the front door. And learning a bit more kind of on business side of things like that. And then, we did the pop-ups. And then I guess we know everything happened with James Cochrane EC3 that I don't think we need to kind of talk about.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll skip that, it's fine.
Yeah,
we should. I think we should just, we're concentrating on this place. I mean, like, so how long ago was that to get this restaurant?
So we did that and then did a pop-up over in Hackney called Fix with my best mate. And that went pretty well, and that kind of just finished. And then kind of got approached with the whole James Cochrane things. Of course, did that. And then Dan was come working at me at James Cochrane EC3 for a bit to see if he can kind of work with me, because we kind of spoke about, let's do something together. But I think he had to kind of really come work with me to kind of stand, and we kind of gelled. We kind of clicked. Plus, he's a Spurs supporter. Plus, he loves Formula One, and we love hip-hop. So
There you go.
So we were kind of like...
Ying
and
yang.
We were like bromance already. So everything kind of happened with EC3, and then we were just kind of ready to kind of do our own thing. And Dan, I kind of put a lot of trust in him. He was kind of like, James, all I want you to do is to focus on the food.
It's what you need, isn't it?
And I'll take care of all the stuff that basically you're not really interested in. And he delivered. We've got this place. And it ticks all my boxes. I mean, for me personally, I've worked in fine dining, and for me, I don't like fine dining. I find it really kind of pretentious. I mean, I don't like to go out and get my chair pushed behind me. I don't really like when they offer the mail, the wine list. I don't really like wine being poured for me. I mean, yeah, it's a great place to learn. But for me, my ideal night out is sitting in the corner with a few bottles of wine and a mate and having a good time and eating good food. So the ethos here really is it's just a relaxed environment. We love our hip-hop, we love our soul, we love our funk. The service is really relaxed and just really just like showcasing kind of my roots, really. So a bit of Scottish influence in there. Well, that's kind of, yeah. Yeah, a bit of Scottish influence there, I was trying to think there. And a bit of kind of my Caribbean roots. I'm originally from Whitstable. So it's quite a lot of fish heavy on the menu.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely get that vibe. I was in here, I had Sunday lunch just a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, you're right, with the staff, just super friendly, because they just chat to you. And it's good, because exactly. You get to ask some questions and chat through the menus and drinks and help you out and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely good vibe.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to get, you know what I mean? Like, we don't have a demographics. Like, we don't have, like, a 25 to 35 or whatever. We believe we want every walks of life to come in here from all over. I don't want anyone to kind of feel animosity coming to here and just feel relaxed. And that's,
it's a lovely location as well. I think Upper Street in general, I think you just see so many different, you know, like people our age, people old, people young. Yeah. But it's really nice. And it always makes you feel like proper London. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. When you're not from, like, for me and you coming here.
There is as well, because you're going down to Angelhead, to Hybrid Institute, it's a completely different group of people, like crowd of people. But I kind of feel that more independent restaurants are hopefully going to be coming along here. I'm going to want to say goodbye to the chains. I think it's day and age that people are so interested in food.
It bollocks me if I got a Cafe Nero.
Oh, I said, just leave immediately. What are you doing in there?
I felt awful. I'm only meant for a latte. Do you know what I mean?
All the independent coffee shops around here. I'm sat in Cafe Nero.
But it's true. But I think over here, it used to be like 5-6 years ago, it was loads of chains. I didn't realise Carluccio's, like, things like that, all the big things are going. Because I think they're not making enough money.
They need to make a lot.
Yeah.
No. I mean, let's give an example, like yard sale pizza. And you've got Prezzo's. So many people are interested in food this day that people can go to more independent pizza joints, they'd rather go to Prezzo's. I think a lot of the chain restaurants are supported a lot by a lot of tourists.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's what they know.
Yeah.
If my mum and dad come here, they go to Covent Garden.
Cafe
they just see, no, but they just see what they know.
Yeah, exactly.
And it might freak them out a bit. And what they think is different for us because we live in London. We know it's actually the same price, if not cheaper. They just think, oh, if we go to Wagamama, it's going to be a cheap meal. Yeah. No, it's not. It's actually more expensive than going for a proper decent meal. You know,
it's safety, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah,
comfort blanket.
And if you don't know, you know what you know. You know what I mean? Exactly. So I'm hoping really kind of for more chain restaurants to kind of be closing around this way, and hopefully see some more independents. Because I feel that places are going bankrupt these days. I think Prezzo's and Gaucho's and a couple others. And I feel that the premium is going to drop. Because what would happen, that premium would stay high. And then another Nando's or something would come along and the premium would stay here. But I think it's kind of fizzling out now along Upper Street. And the premium is going to drop. And it's going to make it more accessible for more independent restaurants, I hope. And I hope we're kind of the start of the new wave that's going to be happening. Because you've got Old Roy's just down the road there. That has been doing well for the last few years. You kind of got here, and then you kind of got a few independent places, like kind of a few Turkish places, a couple of gastro places, and Chicken and Sour just popped up down there. Mint. Yeah. Massive fan of chicken.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Chicken Sour's is good.
Yeah, it's good.
We
yeah.
live near the one in Dalston, don't
yeah.
we? So.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we get on? Because I could talk about the restaurants all day now, but I think we should get back onto our what we're here for.
we're going to take it back a little bit. We're going to get into kind of your first food memory. What's the first thing you can remember about food, whether it was good or bad?
It's always good to be a chef.
Yeah, okay. Like, so the first restaurant I worked at was called Wheeler's Oyster Bar in Whitstable. And my family, my parents used to always take me there in my high chair, in my push chair. And it wasn't really a thing to shout about as being a chef, but the first thing I remember eating was crab sticks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's different.
And
They're just and bright orange.
Yeah, yeah. Just
never change the colour. Yeah.
And I mean, what the hell isn't crab sticks? I still don't know to this day.
Not crab. Not crab. I haven't seen a crab.
And that was kind of like my first kind of memory. And believe it or not, I ended up working there for 5 years.
I've got a postcard in my front room because my missus went on like our first weekend away at Whitstable went in there. And they sell little it's a very famous place, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I love a bit of Whitstable. So you grew up there?
Yeah, yeah. That's my first restaurant I worked at. I worked there 5 years. I'm going to shed a tear, mate. Honestly, I love that place to bits. It's like...
It's so small. It's gorgeous, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, like beautiful. From the outside, you look in, like it's a bit like a little French kind
Yeah,
of,
exactly,
you know?
Exactly. It's like... So Delia is like my second mum, basically. Well, yeah, she's my second mum. And she kind of took me under her wing. So it's been this in 1856, yeah. Since 1856. And she's originally a gypsy, and it's just gone down through generations of the gypsy family. So she's like she still has a gypsy tendency. She won't throw anything away. She's like a massive hoarder, and she just looks after every single staff member there. So before we opened up here, I was back down in Whitstable living upstairs, actually there for like
wow.
a couple of months, living
eating crab sticks.
Yeah, mate, bringing back some great memories. I kind of broadened my palate then, but it was nice. And then we just got a beach hut, and I was sleeping on the beach hut on the beach in the summer. It was just like, you know, when you leave London and you go away and you just like recharge your batteries, it was kind of like that. And it was just, and Whitstable, you know, it's just a nice place,
stunning place. I think I wanted to look in a place to see how much a beach hut had cost to buy. I was like, have you been to Whitstable?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Them stunning little coloured beach huts on. Yeah, I was like, can perfect. I sleep? They were like, no.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I obviously am going to sleep. Who doesn't sleep in a beach
hut? Yeah, exactly.
Who leaves at night? But it's a gorgeous place. Was it a nice place to grow up?
Oh, mate. I mean, I think when you're kids, anywhere you live, like, you don't really appreciate it, do you, until you go back when you're older.
Never.
Yeah, true. And, that's so true.
And everything's boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
What have you done at school?
Yeah.
Oh, now.
It's nothing exactly. to do here.
Exactly. And, I've got so much love for that place. I mean, I would love to go back and live there one day. I would love to have a restaurant back there. Just like once. We'll see how all 21 goes, everything like that.
So what band would you name that restaurant afterwards?
There's any Whitstable bands? There's not Madness.
Well, no. Suggs lives in Whitstable.
Does he?
Yeah.
I can imagine that now. A lot of comedians live in Whitstable now.
Yeah, it's an eclectic crowd of people. Mm.
It's like the posh Margate, isn't it? People who could afford to back the rent.
Exactly, you're correct.
People who couldn't afford the rent went to Margate.
Yeah. And I was born in Margate, so nothing really to shout about there either. You're correct. Yeah.
It's a new place, isn't it?
It's kind of trickling down before because like I think the bad thing about Whitstable as well is that London's are kind of taken over, bumps up all the prices. Mm-hmm. And now it's just kind of a weekend town.
Yeah,
so they're losing a lot of trade for the week, unfortunately, because Whitstable's kind of been pushed out. But I mean, yeah, I've got so much love for that place. Like, yeah, for sure.
So who was the cook in your house growing up?
Oh, my mum. Yeah, like, I knew from age, like 9 years old, I wanted to be a chef.
Wow.
So my parents, for funny reasons, decided to send me to a nunnery. Don't ask me why. I think my dad had kind of big aspirations for me to be...
Priest?
Yeah, not religious, but... I don't know how that would go down. Probably drink most of the wine, to be honest with you. and he couldn't get aspirations for me to be like a lawyer, barrister. And I was kind of being pushed at an early age to kind of like figure out what I wanted to do. And... I remember used to cook with my mum a lot. Like, I remember vividly when the bananas would go off, we would make banana bread and stuff like that. Like, there was no kind of wastage in the house. It was all kind of really a lot of home cooking. And mum's like, what do you want to do? And I was like, oh, I want to be a chef. And really from then, it was like, I knew what I wanted to do from age of 9. So
that's very rare.
Yeah, yeah. And it was so funny, like, because my mum was from the Caribbean, West Indian. There's a lot of West Indian influences into a Sunday roast.
Wow.
Okay. So we'd have like a jerk lamb leg with plantain, breadfruit, roast potatoes, Yorkies. Looking back, it was an odd
roast. That sounds awesome.
Sounds bloody lovely.
It was slightly odd, to be honest with you. I think that's where I kind of got my roots kind of, do you know what I mean? Because I got my Scottish or my English and then the Caribbean kind of roots coming through. But yeah, my mum was like, a massive cook, and we would always cook together. And nothing was out of a tin.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to sound snobbish, but I'm barely even baked beans in my life. Do you know what I mean? I'm not
really fan of beans. So we're just used to all the time having good, fresh.
Yeah, good fresh produce. Yeah.
Was there like a signature thing, or you just try and
jerk roast?
Yeah, well, my favourite meal of all time is a roast.
Me too, mate. I do a proper northern roast at my place.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing that we... Go on, shout out the address.
The thing for me...
Two for one on a Wednesday.
Yeah, no. Look at this. He's there, though, queuing, isn't he?
Where is your place?
It's called the Hand of Glory.
Here we go.
I got a place called the Hand of Glory in Hackney and a place called the Victoria in Dalston. Okay. So it's kind of like a pagan pub, but I take over kitchens basically in places. Nice. Okay. But the roast, I think for me, it's because I'm from the Lake District. So when I used to, on a Sunday, Grandad used to take me walking, come home, Jesus Christ, you're starving, obviously. Even it's just a family thing, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's all everyone together, everyone happy, and then you fall asleep to points of view. Do you know what I mean? Or that kind of or like country fire or something like that.
Sort of praise.
Yeah, exactly. It's always on. Or Antiques Roadshow. I can slay that tune, you know? Fantastic. So constant fresh produce when you're going up, and then you're like, I want to be a chef. Like we always say, about, you know, oh God, what's that question? Sorry. I'm just thinking, I feel awkward now for shouting out my own business.
Oh, 207, was it?
Yeah, go.
Any hashtags in there?
I know, there you go.
So you started with like your first food memory being crab sticks.
Yeah.
So we always ask this question around your relationship with food growing up. What? We have some of the responses we had. You know, everyone as a kid, you kind of hate vegetables, but I know straight away you're not going to say this because
you're going to be answered, Annie.
No, yeah. I'll tell you what I don't like is eggs.
Oh, wow.
87, Edwina Curry was on.
Easter must be a hard time.
Yeah. I was 2 years old. Edwina Curry's on TV. It was kind of kicking off about salmonella. And I was 2 years old, just in my nappy. I went to my old man, I'm not eating eggs anymore. From then, not eating eggs.
Freaked you out.
Mate, I just do a Scotch egg. I could do that, but just like, you know, you'd have a lovely fried egg and the yolk looks beautiful. And I think, yeah, I could eat that. And then as soon as I put it in my mouth, that.
Oh, wow.
Gone.
So many chefs have so many like little things. Like someone didn't like vegetables, I have to get them dyed red. One chef we interviewed was like, I can't stand vegetables. When I was a kid, I used to get them dyed a different colour and all this.
Jesus Christ.
It's like, that is serious.
Steve must be
I used to just eat anything. I think my nana used to like, if I didn't eat all my food, I used to get a stare. Like a death stare, like, come on.
Like, I wouldn't be able to leave the table unless I ate everything, so...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're
old school.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's needed. It's kind of lost these days, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Favourite food, though, for you? What's your favourite food? Right now? If you're saying you're hating eggs and you're not doing that, I mean, when you were a kid, what was the food
you can't say crab sticks again.
At the moment, what I'm...
No, I want your kid answer. I want the thing you look forward to, because there's always that day, isn't there? It's like, for me, it was fish and chips on a
Angel
fry.
Angel Delight.
Oh, strong. I like
Angel
that.
Angel Delight, yeah.
What flavour, though, isn't it? There's two, isn't
butterscotch.
There? Butterscotch.
Yeah. I would literally just, like, get the milk and fork in the measuring jug, just mix that up just before dinner, sit in the fridge, and I'll just be spooning that.
I'd do the same, but with peas pudding.
See, I grew up in a bakery, so it was just constant bread. I was a fat kid for a while because of that, you know what I mean? But now, obviously, bread's looked at as if it's like crack. Everyone hates bread for some reason.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it?
Give us a break.
Exactly, it's true.
You know what I mean? Constant bread, constant cakes as a child for me.
Oh, hey, you had a hard year, didn't you?
And then my grandma opened a sweet shop next door.
Amazing, mate.
No, it was terrible, mate.
It's a dream childhood, mate.
It's not.
You're actually wired all the time.
I was off my head. Off my head in maths, like, you know what I mean? Do you remember when the e-numbers thing came out, though? Because, you know, I used to drink Cokes and I'd literally run around garden centres off my head. Do you know what I mean? But, like, the e-numbers.
Yeah.
You were like, oh, he's had e-numbers. And I used to like that, just smashing the Smarties, a couple of iron brew bars, and I would just run at walls. Do you know what I mean? Come on, Ben. About my youth.
Right, let's get back on it. Let's get first job in the kitchen.
Wheeler's Oyster Bar. Shout out. It was kitchen pour. Started when I was like 12, 13. Just like washing dishes. Kind of learned a little bit more, did a bit of waitering, stuff like that. And then it was kind of like cracking crabs and cracking lobsters, serving like pretty basic with just like a salad and new potatoes. And then just progressed more and more into like the cold kind of fish. Did some filleting, prepping scallops, mussels.
It's pretty decent for a KP.
Yeah. like for like 14, 15, I was like cooking on the stove there.
See, that's the thing.
And that's why fish is like so close to me, because we would get people that come up the back, into the back of Wheelers, who've been out just doing a bit of sea fishing, bringing in just like, I kid you not, I have this memory of this skate wing. And I was trying to, you have to kind of cut around him, rip the skin off. And it, the tendon, where nerves, where you're getting nerves, were just flapping the hell out. And
terrified.
I was bricking myself. I was like, what's going on here? And it was just, just this amazing produce that, again, not all of it's on your doorstep, but it was like, this is all pretty interesting, you know what I mean? And trying all these new flavors, and I was kind of pretty lucky because some people still are quite wary of fish, even at this age.
Yeah, it's mad.
And yeah, it was just a great place and just a great team. And I always used to like, I used to be a sugar fiend then as well. And I'm like the clumsy as hell. Like I put myself in hospital so like 13 times in like 10 years or something. A lot of it's due to the kitchen as well. And I'm clumsy as hell. And I used to eat all the sweets, creme brulees, bread and butter puddings. I remember at this time, I had this chocolate Marquez. It was like milk, white chocolate and dark. And I was running around in the fridge and basically pulled it out and just dropped this whole thing on the floor. That day as well, I set a light to my finger when I was burning a creme brulee and I dropped a bread and butter pudding on the floor. And he was just like, I don't think the chef is for you, basically, mate. Like, I think you should really just like concentrate on putting some stabilizers on and like supporting yourself, walk around the kitchen, mate, because it's not for you.
It's a dangerous place. You forget, don't you? When you're that used to it.
Yeah.
Like, I had a mate who came in, joined me outside the fridge. I said, come in the kitchen, have a pint. Well, it was closed, I was prepping. And he was like, everything's hot. Everything's turned on constantly. You've got fryers here, you've got an oven here, and you're
hazard going, everywhere.
And every time you bend over, I always think to myself, how do I not knock that gravy thing on my back? It's every Sunday, I always think, if I get that gravy on my back, it's done.
Yeah.
It's done. I mean, you just get used to it, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I should have listened to this about this because I've had some absolute howlers.
Come on, let's talk about howlers. I love this stuff.
I remember when I was at Ledbury, and you know, like the big Hobart machines?
Yeah.
And the hook never hits the bottom of the bowl, does it? Because it causes friction. So we're making some salt crust, and I went to...
You didn't put your hand in, please tell me.
No, it was off. It was off. It was off,
of course. Oh, thank God.
So I went to put my hand in to hit the bottom because the flour you need to mix into salt crust. Bang, hits the shoulder on button. Slaps my fingers sideways. So that was that one. And then we used to do a risotto of squid. So you used to get the squid, layer it on top, freeze it, took the corner of the finger off.
And I used to work with Craig. I told you about Dinthead Darren, didn't I?
Oh, go on, get this in.
So I used to work with Craig. Me and Craig, we used to work with this lad called Darren. He had a dint in his head. So we used to call him Dinthead Darren, right?
Poor boy.
Poor lad. But he was a fantastic pastry chef. But he was a bit slow and he had flat feet, right? That's all I remember. And he was like, I was 12, right? And he was talking to me and I was peeling. And he was, you know, like some... When they're a bit older, they get a bit show-offy.
Yeah,
you know what
of
mean?
Course, yeah.
And he's slicing ham, and he was looking at
Savage.
Me.
Savage.
And I was just like, this is going to go wrong. And I'm just there peeling at 12, saying, just keep your mouth shut.
You
eat the brush again. And then he looks at me, going, giving me loads of grief, and then he just went, shh, and took the top of his thumb off and went, I was like, didn't I, Darren? And he just went, and then he picked up his thumb and ran out. It was horrible, man. And then from that day, I was like, right, I am going to watch everything, because I'm not losing this thumb.
Yeah.
No way. I like to click, you know what I mean? I don't want to. I'm not having Darren doing that. But the head chef's meant to be the one that's not clumsy, James.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really cook much these days, so. That's a lie. I still graft in the kitchen most days. Like, but as you get older, you get more wiser, don't you? Do you know what I mean? And then you get a missus that kind of levels you out and says, like, no, you can't ride home drunk, James. You can't do that kind of stuff. Like, you just look after yourself a bit more, so.
It's true. Doing 18-hour days, it always is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on an eight days straight this week.
Oh, wow.
Doing 8 till midnight 1. So I'm still doing the hours in, do you know what I mean?
So you must have got a bit of a kick since Great British, though. Like, it must have been like, well, champions are champions. Everyone talks about that. Yeah, let's get on that quickly. Have a little bit in the middle. So your face, I've watched that 3 times now because I was like, obviously, do a bit of research. I watched the whole thing because obviously Craig was in it, you were going to be in it, Tom Brown's in it and all that. It was quite an emotional end to it, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be honest, like, no one knew about me before the Great British Menu. I'm not saying that like I'm the Don now, because I'm still.
You can say it. It's fine. We'll back you.
I still keep myself grounded as well. But I mean, I kind of really went there as like, okay, this is going to be just a good experience. I'm not even going to get through to the regions. And the Monday to Thursday were grueling, like was proper stressful. And I'd be honest with you, I didn't really go in there proper. Like I hadn't really done any of the dishes before I'd actually gone onto the show. But I knew the flavors kind of worked together. So I kind of went in there, and on the Friday, like when it's me and Selin, I was like super, super relaxed, because I was like, okay, finally I can go home now. It's done.
It is what it is type thing. Yeah, I've done my piece.
It's done. Then I go through and I'm like, what, geez, this is mental. Mental. And then I was kind of so like, I was like, because you watched the previous series before and there's a lot of chips on people's shoulders, there's a lot of beef in the kitchen. I was really not my cup of tea. Then to kind of go through it all, and then you kind of get your dish to banquet and then you win it, you're like,
it's just nuts.
Nah, it's nuts, you know what I mean? Like,
it's such a great journey though.
Yeah. They liked you as well. I think the judges, from watching it, because I guess you didn't watch it like I watched it. Do you know what I mean? I was watching
it. I haven't watched any of it.
So that's the thing, when watching it, they really liked you and your style too. I think they liked the honesty of it. And I think a lot of people, since I've been watching, it's kind of got a bit bells and whistles-y, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So when you've got sirens going out and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, it's a bit crazy.
Yeah.
But I think they like the honesty of, if you look at all the dishes that won it this year, there's no crazy ones.
No, I mean, if you look at it, when I was with Tom Akins, everyone goes, how would you give yourself a 10 and 9? I was like, I think I was giving myself a 6 and a 5, because I knew everything that he's saying was completely correct. I'm not going to lie about the situation. I'm not going to lie to a chef that who's renowned for that good. So I've kind of, when they're really just humble through the whole thing, and every day was a learning curve for me, because I think as a chef, you're always learning every day, aren't you? So, I mean, to come out of champions, I mean, yeah, it's a great achievement, really.
It's crazy. It was nice having a little hug with your brother.
Yeah. It was emotional.
Kind of got emotional. So I've been to Spain, and my mate's been watching it in Spain. He's a big, big cook chef fan and all that. And he was like, I think he's a joy. He's like, I cried too, mate. Yeah. He had a little wee at the end as well. And I was like, that's a nice thing, though. To have people going.
I got a lot of DMs, people like messaging me saying, like, because like you said, like every single person knows someone who's been affected for illness and been side support for NHS. So you're always going to touch someone somewhere, aren't you? If it's to deal with my story or Tom Brown's or Ellis's or whatever, the whole of the Great British Menu. And there's been just so much love and kind of support, and like we kind of feel your pain kind of course going through it all, and we love the whole journey of it, and there were a lot of tear emojis. So I think I've done my family proud, done my mum proud. So can't really ask for anything else, really.
I love your brother too.
Yeah,
top
boy and road mate. Yeah, he's like, yeah, he's, me and him are like sound as hell, man. Like,
can he cook?
I wouldn't employ him in my kitchen. I've never known someone to concentrate on peeling potato.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He's probably like, scared of getting bollocked by you.
It's like,
he's just trying to keep hold of his thumb. Yeah. He must like clicking as well.
Darren Dinted, you know what that. let's go back to the old...
Well, just when you were saying before, before you went into the first episode and you went in there with no kind of real plan on your recipe, you just kind of knew that the flavours would work together.
Yeah.
That's mad interesting. It's, so when did you realise that you had confidence in your own ability?
In Great British Menu or...
Just in life,
being a chef, obviously. You know what, like, so before Great British Menu, you work at any kind of restaurant and you're kind of moulded into that restaurant. So if I worked at Ledbury 5 years, Ledbury is all I know. So you kind of leave there and you're doing your own food, but it's very Ledbury kind of style, where you kind of got 12, 13, 14, 15 components on there. And I mean, it took me like a good, probably like 2 years to really kind of understand the kind of style and direction of food that I wanted to go with. I mean, if you're kind of honest, like no plate on the menu has any flow. Like every single one is different, and every single, and all my, for me personally, like my dishes, I like to punch a lot of flavor in there. And of course the dishes all have to gel and a good like texture and acidity on there. And I think I really kind of work those elements. And now, like, I mean, I'm still learning as a chef, and it's very hard for me to kind of, it's so funny because with food, it keeps evolving so quickly, so quickly, so quickly. And you want to try and keep up. And I mean, now the kind of style of food is like literally one, like the protein and one puree and that's it. And let the product speak for itself. I'm kind of losing direction of where the question is going.
No, it's fine.
Really.
It's fine. It's interesting.
But yeah, it did take me a good couple of years really to find my direction of food. And you kind of understand the style of flavors. I mean, for me, it's, I'm taking elements from here to here to what I know from Whitstable. And if you kind of look at all the kind of the dishes that we go through the Great British Menu, it's all stemming from one of the three roots. So you've got the coconut of life, you know, it's going to be coming from the Caribbean. You kind of got the Scottish lobster, you know, it's coming from Scotland. Douglas Fir, Scotland. Cider from Whitstable. The mushrooms coming from Kent. So
it's a really important thing to you.
Yeah. My roots is what I put on my plate. And as long as I keep in the three elements, and then you're bringing kind of different flavors from all around the world, but if you kind of got the core ingredients, then, I mean, modern British, what's that mean this day and age? It's just anything and everything, isn't it, really?
Yeah, but it goes back to, like, honest food.
Yeah.
Because that shines through more than anything.
Yeah, exactly. And I think people kind of see myself on a plate, and that's what I try to do, really. And put a smile on people's faces. That's the most important thing. That's my ethos.
So what was the first dish that you created that kind of was a bit of a light bulb moment? Were you a bit like, hey, up, I'm not bad at this?
I remember this quite vividly as well. Like it was at the Harwood Arms. Salmon Scottish. So I did treacle cured smoked salmon with a whiskey and apple jelly.
How Scottish is that?
smoked cod's roe, apple, rye, mustard cress, and I had that dish probably on for like 3-4 years of like my kind of pop-ups and here, and I kind of got to this point, I was like, that dish was relevant 4 years ago, that dish is not relevant now. And like every, I still love plating it now.
But it was hard letting go. Yeah. It's hard to split up.
Yeah, it's hard to let go of it. Yeah, it's got a very emotional attach to that salmon. And that was like my kind of first dish. I was like, now I kind of know the direction of food I want to go in. So my first kind of roots dish. And the next one was the buttermilk Jamaican jerk chicken that
I did. You never let that go. Everyone loves that.
Well, do you know what I mean? It comes down to comfort food, doesn't it? Like,
of course it does.
You come home, like any day, any time of the day, a bit of buttermilk chicken for me. Like, it's my favourite thing on the menu. I could have, like, it could be, I went, of course, not fine, but it could be beef, or it could be scallops, or it could be any, like, kind of really nice kind of produce. But for me, just a bit of fried chicken, a bit of Scotch bonnet jam, I could just, and a beer, and Spurs.
And your own.
I'm happy.
Should we talk about some of the favourite places you like to go to eat? So when you're, you know, not spending 18 hours a day in a restaurant.
I think, like, as you kind of get older, it's not like, okay, this week I'm going to go to Hyde, or this week I'm going to go to, like, kind of Michelin star, or, like, for me, it's, like, where I live in, like, Peckham Rye, East Dutch area, I've got a really good place around there to eat, so for me, Mr. Bao, Taiwanese place, it's really, really good, Bam Bam, Vietnamese, so I guess you're kind of talking about punching a lot of flavour, a good, like, pizza joint, coal rooms, just, like, you don't have to break the bank to have good food. And that's really kind of like, for me, fits with the boxes. Sunday out with my dog, my missus and a couple of mates, just having a good few beers, a bit of football, good bit of food. I mean, dishes that stand out for me. Just obsessed with Mr. Bao, to be honest with you, mate. Their steam buns are just on point.
I've never been.
And I've got a massive obsession with Negronis.
I did. I mean, I'm pretty good at it.
I have blood running from my veins, to be honest. They're doing mass great plum Negronis. But yeah, literally, it's just like, I've got everything I need in my local area, so I don't really say. A bit of a hermit, basically, to my locals.
So you tend to do that when you're not working loads. Just stay in your local area, doing your nice
keep
thing.
Keep it local.
Yeah.
Head to the nearest Cafe Nero. Yeah?
Yeah.
Leave it. Yeah. But Peckham Rye, nice.
Yeah. I think, really, really nice. It's like, it's not as bad as Brixton being gentrified, but it's on the verge of getting there. But I mean, it's got some really good spots. Great pubs, good food, it's generally just a great vibe, basically.
It's funny, though, isn't it? Because you find a lot of chefs don't live close to the restaurant. They kind of like that escape.
Yeah,
I live way too close to my place.
Oh, really?
And it's like...
He's in the basement.
Yeah, I might as well bloody be. I'm literally like 2 minutes away, but I'd like that escape. So
yeah,
when I'm off,
exactly.
I am off. Yeah. You know what I mean? And when I want to explore... Because the thing is, I find when a lot of chefs work so much and live in London, you don't really... live in London. He's in a little town.
No, exactly.
Near York restaurant.
Yeah. You literally get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, go to work, come on, go to sleep and that. So, I mean, at the moment, because we've got a newly opened restaurant, I'm always getting a message coming through. Like, when it's showing business, you can't really have a day off, can you? Do you know what I mean?
So how long has it been open for now? Was it 2 months?
About 2 months. Yeah, about 7 weeks or so, 8 weeks or so. And I mean...
Different feeling to the last, to kind of all your last things you've done, projects?
Yeah, well, it was mine.
Scary.
Well, it's mine.
Trademarks.
I'm about to pull out a pun then, but I'm not going to. Well, the thing about it is when you've got a good team around you, like my business partner, Dan, who you trust in, it's going to be okay. And like, we have meetings every week, of course. And it's organically kind of 12:51, like, we open a place up now, we get some money coming through the bank. We want to get the floors redone. We kind of got like next stages, get some more plants in here. Upstairs, we're going to get redone. New chairs. So
baby steps. You can't do anything.
Exactly. I like that though. I like it when it just comes in and you just like,
bosh.
This is us done. Because then you've put so much money into it. If there's something that's not right or the customers go, ooh, you can't change it because you're skinned.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean, it's like let's happen organically, and then the customers can see it happen. You know, your fans coming here can be with you at the same time.
Exactly, and that's I'm loving it. Like the kitchen, like we're getting a few stuff that he's done in the kitchen, and you always got the chef niggling. Chef, I'm gonna get this done, chef.
Yeah, of course you have.
It's like, mate, it's like
I just go never
keep your head down, mate. Focus on this. I'll update you all when things are happening. So I fed them a load of information yesterday after having business meeting with Dan and. It's all PMA, basically, to be honest with you. Yeah, it's all,
heads down,
positive.
Focus, all work as a team. Yeah. Same idea, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're one big family today, aren't we? We all look after each other. That's the ethos.
Is everyone coming up to you, giving you the old, can I have a picture now, though, even on telly?
Yeah. Like, me in the kitchen, and we have the door open downstairs. Can I have a selfie, please? Like,
well, that's nice, man. That's nice. Yeah. Just, I'd like that.
I just take it in my stride, you know what I mean? Like,
it's wicked.
Yeah.
We're nearly getting to an hour now, I guess. So we're going to have a bit of fun
with the old quick fire.
Yeah, let's wrap it up with a little bit, some quick fire.
Hit you with some quick questions. First thing that comes into your mind.
I'm not yet, so I might get a bit of time.
Speaking of bloody well, mate.
Just say crab sticks for every single one.
Crab sticks.
Right, you forgot your readers.
It's all right. You can just smash them out and I'll just join in with him.
Top three foods you can't live without.
Cheese.
You can't have Negroni the food.
Come on, actually, quick fire rounds. Jesus Christ. Cheese, scallops, and pizza.
Pizza?
Nice.
Favourite food, guilty pleasure?
Sriracha.
Oh, naughty.
That is naughty. Just like that, pouring it in, like that, squeezing that bottle.
Biggest kitchen disaster?
Remember my first Michelin star restaurant I worked at? This guy had been basically reducing down about 20 kilos of like plum tomatoes down to like a 4-liter gallon container. And we just cleaned the whole kitchen. And I was like, as being like the chef, starting, yeah, I'll put it in the kitchen for you. I'll put it in the cold room for you. So you get the lid of pick up the container, slips out of my hands, just drops straight down like that. Bosh. still looking at tomatoes 4 months down the line.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And I
just got that look of like,
never again.
You're done.
That is a good one. This is a geeky one, but we like it. Top three bits of kit you can't live without in your kitchen.
Okay. My Bluetooth speaker.
Because it's the truth. It's the truth.
I need music on all the time. I can't live without Bluetooth speaker. Probably my Thermomix, because I never had a Thermomix until I went on GBM.
And that's
just a revelation, mate. Like tempering chocolate in there. And my packer jet.
There we go.
My business partner gets wound up because it costs about $5,500. We're paying on finance. He gets well annoyed about it.
He goes,
that's how much it costs to paint the whole restaurant. Your bloody packer jet, what's it do? I'm like, mate, just you don't worry, man. Beautiful, beautiful churned ice cream, mate. Beautiful churned. In a minute.
There you go. But then the thing is, though, now you've given it a big plug. You never know, you might get another one for it.
Yeah, exactly. 1241 James Cook Room, 107 Upper Street, Champion of Champions, you know who it is.
Do you want to do your place again? No?
Just say it's the hand of glory to you. Why not?
I need to open a restaurant.
You need to open a restaurant, pal. You'll be backed.
If you had to eat the same meal every day, what would it be?
Fried chicken.
There we go.
Banging.
I remember the last one.
Go on, you've got the last one. It's your
Who would be? Because we had like, this question was huge. It was mine. It was terrible, right? But then we were just shutting it down. But who would be your ideal dinner date? You take anyone, dead or alive, rock stars, rappers, right, anything.
Such a tough one. First one that came to my head was David Shinola.
I'm having that, man. That is it. You know what, as well, I bet he'd come. Let's try and set it up. Shinola in here with his silky locks, just sat on his own, drinking a glass of wine. No one will sit next to Joe.
First person that came to my head, David Shinola.
Because he's worth it.
He is worth it. Thank you so much for today, mate.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, we'd love to come. I'm going to come and eat. I think I'm going to have to have one of these roasts. We'll swap.
Have a roast.
I'll come to yours.
Yeah, Ledge.
Perfect. Yeah. Superb. Cheers.
See you on Sunday.
See you Sunday.
Awesome. Thanks very much, pal.
Have a great night.
Thank you. Cheers. Take care, mate.
Cheers, James, and thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of the Yes Chef podcast.
And listeners, we hope you enjoyed that one. He's all right, him, isn't he?
He's all right. And also 1251, Nimba for a stroke song.
Hello.
We love him, don't we? We love him. Thank you very much again. Listen, subscribe, like, and please leave a comment. If you've been to some of these restaurants as well that we've recommended or we've interviewed the chefs.
Hey, let us know.
Please do. Right, have a good one.
See you next time.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.